Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Kavanagh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Joining me at the round table are the Romies. So tell me a little bit about you Romies out there.
All right, well.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Right, and I'm Rory. And then together we are
the Romies.
The Romies,
right. Yes. Because we roam around the world.
That's right. And we are married.
Yeah, to each other.
Yeah.
So you're husband and wife, and right. I'm guessing by the beautiful strap on your shoulder, that your genre of art, your medium of art, is music.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'll be honest. I knew that ahead of time.
But she's been studying.
Yeah. So, how about could I ask you? Would you be willing to play us a little bit of your music right now?
A little ditty now.
With the interview?
Okay. Yeah.
Yay,
we can do a mini
concert.
You.
Let's go.
That's right.
All right.
Our quarantine concert, baby.
tell us the name of the song you're going to play.
Okay, sorry, so this song is, this was on our most recent album, or our first EP called, our EP is called We Got Love, and this song is 1, 2, 3, 4.
I will tell my audience I've listened to this song already.
I love you.
my own private concert. I'm so excited. Well, it's not private for long because we're putting this out there. But that's wonderful. Thank you so much for playing that. That's
yeah. Welcome.
I listened to quite a few on your website, and I really enjoyed that one. So I did want to ask you guys to tell us a little bit about each of you, you know, like how where you're from, where you grew up. I know, you know, where you're living now, how, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Just give us a little background about who you are as people and artists.
All right, you go first, baby.
Okay, well, I grew up in New Mexico and Texas, and we kind of went, our family moved back and forth, so I feel like I grew up in both parts of the country, and Albuquerque and Houston, to be specific. And I ended up going to Baylor University, and loved it there, but I knew that I wanted to do, I know I loved it, but I knew I needed to be in Nashville so that I could do music. And I got into music because my sister sang in church and she was awesome. And I love performing. Like ever since I was a kid, I've always been performing. So I would probably call myself more a performer than I would maybe a musician. Or, you know, because even though I've studied instruments and studied voice and all of that, like my passion since I was a kid was performing. So let me dance for you. Let me act for you, whatever it is. I just love being in front of people and all of that. So definitely not shy. And
I married a cheerleader for sure.
Well, yeah. So I was a gymnast and all that stuff. So I loved movement and performing. So then I took voice lessons. I started at age 12. I took piano starting at age 3. And kind of just music was a part of me growing up. But my main outlet for music was singing in church. And that's where a lot of it happened for me. And then ended up going to college. And so, like I said, I went to Baylor and I was not a music major because why would you do that? Like, you're not going to get a job, right?
Yeah.
And all you can do is teach. And I didn't want to teach. And so it was like, yeah, I guess, you know, I'll get a business broadcasting degree because then I'll have to know about business and I'll have to know about TV, film and radio and I'll have to know about all that. And I'll take voice lessons. And so that's kind of how we crafted my degree. But then I realized, yeah, I got to be in Nashville. So I transferred to Belmont University.
Okay.
And I had met Rory actually when I was 15 years old because he was in a singing group with my sister. And he ended up transferring.
So not to interrupt, but you're from the same area then.
Well, I'm from South Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's the nearest city called Lake Charles. It's a little town called Moss Bluff. It's just across the river from Lake Charles.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. And she's definitely more, in my opinion, an Albuquerque girl than a Houston girl. She's not a Southern girl.
Okay.
I've got some Southern in me.
The first time I brought her home, she was wearing a like combat boots kind of thing and a patchwork dress. And my parents, their faces, you could see it all over their face.
They didn't know what to do.
Though they were so nice, they were just like,
nice to meet you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys met when you were 15, and at this
it was a concert. Yeah,
yeah. My sister and he were in this touring group that, like, over the summer they would tour across the U.S. singing and performing
around the world,
and in other countries. And so Lisa would always call home and talk about all her friends. So I felt like I knew all her friends, and Rory was one of those. And after I had been a semester at Belmont, Rory went on to sing for, you know, a Grammy nominee, Grammy winning. Go ahead.
I guess I'll tell my story.
Yeah, and then we'll...
yeah, how this
story
is
right. And then,
yeah. Right. She's got more words to use in the day than I do, so that's okay.
That's all right.
I grew up in South Louisiana, and my family, I grew up singing with my family. My mom always sang and played accordion and piano and organ in church and stuff. And so I remember I was on vacation one summer with the grandparents, and my parents told me that the family was going to sing in church. And I was like, what? The whole family together? I was just a kid, right? So yeah. I came home, and we would get asked to sing. We had a big family, 5 kids, 2 parents. Then as the kids got married, the in-laws would join, right? Not the in-laws, the sister-in-laws. Yeah, brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws, the spouses would join. Thank you. And so we would get asked to sing at revivals, and we had church and stuff like that. And I was playing trumpet already in school. And as I went along, I was all state for a number of years in high school on trumpet. We didn't even have a choir at my school. So trumpet is what paved my way through college.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, I had scholarships everywhere from like Eastman to Berkeley to whatever, right? Because I was a, I was pretty good. And,
you were pretty good.
Yeah.
It's okay, you can say that.
Well, so I made money going to school playing my horn, which was great, although I was a vocal major, a performance major. Unlike my lovely bride, I said, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. Yeah. And everyone said, you should have something to fall back on. And I just, this is what I'm going to do. Just, and finally the teacher said, yeah, we think that's what you should do. And I said, well, thanks. I'm glad you agree with me. Anyway, so I did that. I got my degree. Well, I went 4 years in Louisiana. Then I got a job singing backup for a 5-time Grammy winning gospel artist. So I traveled the world literally singing with him.
Wow.
And yeah, and before I got the job with him, I met her at 15. Then I didn't see her for a long time, right? And then when I got the job with him, I would send her I'd send her tickets when we were in the area of Baylor.
Yeah.
So she'd come see us.
Every weekend I would go to concerts. Yeah. Because Baylor doesn't have a lot going on, you know?
Sure.
I mean, it's growing now because of Chip and Joanna Gaines. And so they're helping Waco be even more fun.
We'd go
to concerts all the time. A group of my friends, we'd go to Dallas or we'd go to Austin, you know, because it's so central to all of those big cities. And so I would find myself almost every weekend going to concerts.
Sure.
So when he would be in concert, it was already in my normal pattern. Yeah, let's go see a concert. You know?
Plus, you want
but
to see
more
me.
It's special when you know someone who's
exactly.
invited.
Exactly.
Yeah, come on.
Then
rock
you get backstage
on,
or whatever.
Yeah, rock star on stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So I did that for 3.5 years, and I always knew I would finish my degree. I was 1 year away in Louisiana, so I transferred to Belmont in Nashville, which she had transferred to the semester before. So I transferred to Belmont. She couldn't stay away from me, you know.
There you were in the same
She took
place.
All the same classes. We had the same degree, commercial
the rest
music.
Is history,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you know.
Pretty much.
So here we are.
But tell our people where you are now.
All right, we are in Burbank, California, which is Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and we started out as solo artists. When Rory was at Belmont with me, he got asked to sing in a big band, well, actually to play trumpet in a big band and then to sing for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually he ended up taking it over, and that's a whole story in itself. But he has an 18 to 21 piece big band, so that's all like Frank Sinatra, Nat
Michael
King Cole,
Bublé,
all those standards
stuff,
that you love. And then as a solo artist, my stuff is more like rock, pop, happy, kind of fun stuff. And so we're very different. But Rory is an amazing songwriter. And so we would start to do some shows where we would do a co-bill. Because we were ended up traveling together, like as a solo artist, he would sing backup for me.
I'd play keys in her band and sing backup.
Yeah, and then for his big band, I would sing backup for him or sell CDs. You know, I'm at the merch table or whatever. But we always like made use of each other.
It started to come together.
Yeah.
And so then we purposed to do some shows. You know, Rory and Alexa, and we would share a guitar player. And so it was more of an acoustic setting. And at the end of shows, people would say, "Well, where's the CD with you together?" And we were like, well, okay, no, you see, he does big band, and I do pop, and like, we're really different. And
wouldn't that be cheesy, a husband-wife thing?
Yeah, we just didn't know how. No,
right.
It's cool.
Turns
it's
out
cool.
People really liked it, so that's how we happened as the Romies.
Yeah, so
that's
as an approach.
That's great, because that's so interesting to me, because one of the questions that I wanted to ask was, you know, when did you first know that music was your destiny? But clearly you guys knew
early.
It very early on.
Yeah.
And I know you talked about your sister, Alexa, and you talked about your parents and grandparents, Rory, and everybody doing it. So, I mean, you grew up with music in your lives at a very young age. And I think it's really interesting also that, Alexa, that you were talking about being so, at such a young age, knowing that performance was your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just music, but just doing that. Because, you know, so many kids are so shy.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we like to reach all ages with our podcasts and everything, but I hope there are kids out there who are willing to just put themselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
And in our little community here in Noblesville, Indiana, there's, you know, not like Burbank or big places, not like LA,
or like Moss Bluff.
You know, but hey, we're a cultural arts mecca.
That's
right.
But we do have a really good little community of youth youth artists, youth creatives. There's a lot of support for them here. So I'm always happy to hear that, you know, that there are people out there who are doing what they love and they've known they wanted to do that from a very young age.
Yeah, for sure.
You've talked a little bit already about your journey, your arts journey, how you guys came together, you know, how you started individually and then came together. But I'm wondering if along the way, I mean, not everything's love and roses and not everything's horrible, awful, but do you have any, you know, little, I don't know, vignettes or stories of any obstacles or discouragements that you guys have had to either individually or together had to overcome and then maybe going to something more uplifting like Highlights or something, you know, something that was really positive? Because, you know, I don't ever want to dwell too much on the negative.
All right.
But I know that, you know, that all artists have, you know, it's like being an artist is like being on a roller coaster.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I always want to ask people to pay homage to their challenges, to their journey, you know, and what they've overcome, because I think that's really important in the story of an artist of any kind.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
What do you guys think?
I would say I have a general answer because it is part of the rhythm. It's a lot of what you said already is that as an artist, there is a rhythm of, and so it's a continual ever since we've been doing this as a career. Mm-hmm. You have one big success and 50 no's, and you get an award and 50 no's. And so it's, so just in general, just this career is an obstacle.
Right.
You know, there's no steady income.
Yeah.
There's nothing stable. Every day is completely different. And I love that every day is different. That's why I continue to do it. But, there's, you're beat up all the time. And so there's this, do you know the toy, the Weeble Wobble?
Yeah.
You know,
they won't fall down.
They won't fall down.
They don't fall down.
That's right.
And I am old enough to know that,
So I just, for me, my whole life, you just feel, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to do this because I love it. But yes, it's super, super hard. But at the same time, all of the challenges, and maybe to get a little bit more specific with those challenges, they might be a no from a record label, or you spend all this time writing this song and then nobody shares it on the web and you've like poured your heart out and, you know, you don't get the viral response, internet viral response that you so desired from this thing that you made.
You win a big award and you think, oh, finally, this is it. Now it's going to explode.
Now we're going to...
And then nothing comes
up.
Right. Or we've taken our next step and we've reached a bigger audience. We had this thing happen. And so you think it's going to open another next bigger door, and then it doesn't. But then something else happens.
It's crazy.
So it's a general obstacles all the time.
And, all the time. Yeah. I think that's so true, and I think it's kind of the cumulative effect of being on the roller coaster. Both cements for creatives that is their destiny, that is what they're going to do, and it also enables them to meet those dips.
Yeah, because the expectation is set.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And when the good things happen, I think we as artistic, creative people are so like thrilled and grateful.
Yes.
You know, and I mean...
And shocked sometimes.
Shocked. It's almost like, do you like that?
Really?
Like, you know, as a visual artist or a writer, if I've submitted a poem or a story or a painting or a photograph to an exhibit or an online publication or something, when I like you said, you know, 50 rejections, one, oh, we'll take it, you know, and most of those don't pay. I mean, but I can remember the times where, you know, I've had a big, what I would consider a big success as an artist and something sold, you know, to a huge corporation, you know, a piece that I had done or something, or a poem actually won a $200 prize.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, oh my gosh, you know, and that wasn't even first place. You know, I was like, $100? And, you know,
somebody's
and then,
paying me.
You know, put something else out there and nobody sees it. Nobody cares. And you're like, but that was my best thing, you know?
Yeah.
So that roller coaster, it's the cumulative ride that we're both addicted to and love and desire to be on that ride,
I think.
It's
bizarre,
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.